a few points of order, and then we will go into the agenda. I would like to go ahead and call the meeting to order. This is the Application Review Committee of the State of Arizona for the Board of Psychologist Examiners. Today is December 1, 2023, and the time is 7:34 a.m. Ms. Folks, could you do the roll call, please?
Yes, Madam Chair. Dr. Malott?
Here.
Dr. Catarino?
Present.
You have a quorum.
Thank you. It's not my preferred background. Okay, so moving right along, we have 5 agenda minutes to approve. We can do them as a group. Dr. Catarino, do I hear a motion to approve the minutes of August 25th, regular and executive, October 2nd, regular, and regular and executive of October 27th?
Yeah, I would like to make a motion to approve the August 25th, 23 regular session minutes, the August 25th, 23 executive session minutes, the October 2nd, 23 regular session minutes, the October 27th, 23 regular session minutes, and the October 27th, 23 executive session minutes.
I would go ahead and second it. All in favor of this motion, please approve.
Okay. Aye.
Aye. Motion is approved. We can go on to... okay, this is more likely the scene in Flagstaff today, so kind of more appropriate background. Okay, well, before we get started with item number 4, I just want to make a few points. First and foremost, I want to thank the staff, and especially Kathy, for bringing all these materials together. We have we have 29 applicants, so this is probably a pretty large agenda. Last month we had 5 applicants. The meeting lasted 5 minutes. So
that was a good one. Yeah.
This one will take a little longer. And the interesting part about this agenda is I saw at least 10 different situations, which actually makes it for a very great training session. We will not really be doing training at this meeting. This is a regular meeting, but please make notes as you have questions. And then this afternoon when we have our training session, I will be glad to answer those questions. So make notes because you're like, why was this? You know, just keep writing your questions and make a reference to the case name so we can answer your questions in the training session later today. I don't know if you're there, Dr. Chavino, but I'm doing a training with our new board new incoming board members this afternoon. But I will try to give you a little bit of background as I go along. I tend to run these meetings very quickly, and I appreciate Dr. Chavino tolerating my pace. I always have other meetings. Dr. Seidman, you're very familiar with my crazy schedule. I have a meeting at 8 o'clock, but I don't think I can make that. Maybe I could join at 8:30, but I do have a hard stop at 9, where I have another meeting in my office. So just kind of giving you, if you don't get done by 9, Ms. Folks, Ms. Backerman, is it possible for us to come back at 10? I don't know, Dr. Catarino, are you available at 10? No.
No, I start seeing clients at 9.
Okay, so we are going to plow along, go very quickly. Something else that I like to do during these meetings is I don't like to go over all the details. You know, both Dr. Catarino and I have read these applicants, and we tend to focus on questions we have or things that we want to confirm with each other. Hey, did you have a concern with this? What is your thought on this? And those are the ones that we focus on. We don't talk about the whole life history of the applicant. We assume that each of us have read. And it really helps to have team members because if I miss something, Dr. Catarino catches it. If Dr. Catarino misses something, There's a lot of boxes we check to see that has been checked off. And staff can also intervene and, you know, point things that we both might have missed. So having said that, the first category we're doing A is requesting approval to sit for the ECCC. So these are candidates just requesting approval to sit for the exam. They have earned their degree, and this is EPP part one, since Arizona doesn't require the part two at the moment. And so they've completed their degree. They've completed their internship, which is a requirement, you know, obviously comes with a degree. But they have not done their postdoc or submitted pre-internship hours for approval, or they have less hours than the 3,000. So we have one candidate in this category, and I'll go ahead and do a brief summary. It's Brona Davis, who is receiving her clinical psych from Midwestern, did her internship at Southwest Behavioral Health for 2,000 hours. There was no red flags in her application. Both of the degree and the internship were APA approved programs. I didn't have any problems with the app. Dr. Katarina?
No, had no problems.
Okay. I will go ahead and make a motion that we move her application to the full board for approval. Do I hear a second?
Second.
A motion is approved to move her application for approval to fit for the ECCC. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion approved. I do see a few candidates here. I hope maybe we will go ahead and jump to D. I see Dr. Bogardus here. Dr. Bogardus is requesting approval for supervised temporary license. And you do not have to have the ECCC when you sit for that, when you apply for that status. However, on reviewing your application, Dr. Bogardus, the date for your degree was not on the transcript. And I noticed there was communication between you and Dr. And since you're here, I'll ask you that question. And Ms. Folks, if you can answer too, is that, do you confirm? I don't see, this happened.
Sorry, I put my video back.
Is that still true, Dr. Ms. Kathy?
Unfortunately, it is.
Yes.
Dr. Bogarda sent an email yesterday that explained the situation. I'm going to let her provide that information herself, though. Dr. Bogarda.
Go ahead, Dr. Bogarda.
Hi, good morning, everybody. I apologize. That was an oversight on my part. My dissertation is at the copywriter. It's been there for a couple of months. So I spoke to my school the other day, and they said that, well, the person that I spoke with thought that it was because it wasn't officially published. So I spoke to the copywriter, the girl that has been working on it, and she said she would try to have it done in the next couple of days.
Okay.
And it would be submitted to the school, and then,
So we cannot review your application. Your degree has to be posted.
Okay.
So at this point, I don't know. We could either, I'm not going to do a request for additional information because really this is an incomplete application. So,
okay.
Ms. Folks, this needs to be moved to a future agenda once your application is completed.
Madam Chair, committee members, if her, if a transcript comes in this week, like by Tuesday or Wednesday, would you want to see it on the board agenda, or do you really want it on next month's ARC?
I think I want it on next month. I did review her application, and I actually had more questions than you, just the transcript.
You did have questions? I had questions.
Yeah, okay. I had questions. So I think this has to be substantially reviewed by, by the committee. So, is that your feeling too, Dr. Katarina?
I didn't know if we should discuss the questions we have.
No, we cannot discuss her application.
Then we need to have more discussion.
So next
okay.
month.
Okay, thank you, everybody. See
thank
you
next
you.
Month. Okay. There's a lot of.
I see Dr. Sweeney, Dr. Palmer.
Maybe we'll just go through Yeah, because some of them are just standard applications, and if anyone is in a hurry, is anyone in a hurry or needs to be somewhere, but I think you'll be done very quickly. So it gets hard to jump around, and then you might miss somebody. So I would prefer just following agenda and B, because I see different people and they're sprinkled all over. Dr. Bogardus was an easy one because she's the only one in her category. So B. So let's go to B, requesting approval to sit for the EPPP and licensure. Now, in this category, these are individuals who have graduated. They have met the supervised experience requirement, and you can meet the supervised experience requirement in many ways, but the common ways are the internship and the postdoc, or the internship, the postdoc, and pre-internship hours, or the internship and the pre-internship, so or any combination. But the internship is required at least 1,500 hours, and then a combination of postdoc and pre-internship, or one or the other. So all of these candidates are applying under that category. The first one is Gregory Pickus. Do you want to do this one, Dr.?
Sure. Dr. Pincus got his PsyD from Azusa Pacific. And it's an APA accredited school. He has an internship at the VA that's APA accredited. He has 2,649.6 practicum hours, if I added correctly, which puts him in a 2,000-hour internship. So he has enough hours. His two recommendations and self-query. So everything I felt was in order.
I agree. And he only needed 1,000, but he had a lot of pre-internship, and they were all in order in terms of direct, indirect, and supervised hours. The next one is Dr. Grunston. Dr. Grunston is a re-app. Typically, a re-app is somebody who has not passed the exam the first time or one or more times, and they are coming back. We do not share exam scores at the meeting because it is confidential. But she has been substantially reviewed by this board. So I am not going to go into details by application. Sometimes board members, because we have different rotations, may see something that that they don't agree with maybe previous board members, and that is often discussed. But in her case, I didn't see anything, and so I'm okay to go ahead and re-approve her re-app. Dr. Kevin.
I just want to make a point that the accommodations that were requested, separate room and double time, will still be in effect for the next exam.
Yes. Okay. Thank you for that. Next one is Jordan Serena, and Jordan is on the line with us. Jordan started at Argosy in Phoenix, probably, and then transferred to Midwestern. She submitted 1,000 hours of pre-internship, at least 1,000. It's probably more, but I look for 1,000. Dr. Karina does all the additions.
And it's usually
And
wrong.
yeah, and she also completed an APA-approved internship for 1,967 hours. She meets the supervised experience, good references, no questions that rose concerns, and her query was fine. Any questions?
It's 1,400 hours I added. So
Yeah.
yes, I think
Okay.
she's fine.
She's fine. And
I
Dr.
Jordan
Serena, I know
is
you've had
fine.
a long journey having had to shift schools, so congratulations on arriving at this stage.
Okay.
Dr. Shannon Winans, I do have a disclosure. Dr. Winans is a graduate from the Combined Counseling Psych Program at NAU. However, while I'm declaring that, I have not had Dr. Winans in a class, nor have I supervised her, nor was I on her dissertation committee. She's just a student I'm aware of that is in the program. So I will go ahead and be part of a review. And again, new incoming board members, this is important because you're going to see a lot of your students come through, and you're going to have to either refuse yourself or make a decision so that you can review their applications objectively. So the criteria I keep in mind is, have I served on their dissertation committee? Have I taught them in a class? Was I their advisor? Dr. Winans, you want to go ahead?
Okay, as we just said, I graduated from NAU in the School and Counseling Program in May of 22. The program is APA accredited. Her internship at the Hawaii Consortium was APA and APIC accredited. There's a postdoc at the Ray of Hope. And she has two recommendations and a self-query. I think things were in order.
You know what? I couldn't find a postdoc.
It's a Ray of Hope. We could check the number of hours. I didn't write that down.
No, no, I just, I was looking for the postdoc.
Started in December of 22, it said.
What page was it on?
1222, it started.
No, 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 what page?
Oh, I don't know. I don't have that open. I just have my notes opened. I'd have to go to that, sorry.
I could not find her postdoc in the paperwork I received. Was it separate?
Let me check that then. I saw it. Maybe Kathy can get it quicker while I look.
I see her pre-doc on page 24 at the Hawaii Consortium.
Yes, and then there's this other one, Ray of Hope.
Page 31.
No, I do not see it. I do not. My page 31 is her reference for.
Well, I'm just pulling it up. Let me get to that.
I don't know why I don't have it. Miss Book.
Okay, let's see.
Members, are we on Dr. Schneider?
No, Shannon Winans.
Oh, we're still back on Winans. Okay, I'm sorry. Let me open that one.
I don't see it in mine. I'm on the site and I'm looking, and I looked last night too. And it sounds like y'all all have it, but I don't.
I'm looking here. Hang on.
Oh my, you're right. It isn't in the file. It should have been. I apologize. Let me go look at it. Pull it up. When these files are being put together, they're being put together page 1 to 3 pages at a time, and it's not automatic like the PDF. And so
the page 20 is listed as a postdoctoral.
Yeah, but that's not sufficient.
Yes, and I'm looking. If there's more. You don't see more.
So you have it. Let's come back to Dr. Winans. And
I know I have it.
Okay. Let's go to Dr. Schneider. Dr. Schneider is a graduate of the Pacifica Graduate University. Clinical psychology, a doctorate in clinical psychology. I'm assuming Pacifica Graduate University is not accredited, because I did not see any information on accreditation.
I think that Pacifica became Azusa, but I don't know if it was accredited.
Azusa is in California, Pacific. No, Pacifica, we've seen a lot of applicants from Pacifica. So Dr. Schneider did submit his. So Pacifica has quarter hours, so you have to do, but he did submit at least 5 quarter credit of coursework in each section, and they appear to be appropriate. The one question I had was a professional development seminar, and did that meet the scientific and professional ethics and standards in psychology? Because he needed those 3 extra 2, 3, 4, 5. Because they're quarter credits. You need 5 quarter credits for 3 semester hours. I reviewed the syllabi for the PDS, Professional Development Seminar 1, 2, and 3, and they appear to be okay. So I'm going to go ahead and accept that, if you're okay with that too, Dr. Carolina.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's okay.
Yeah, he's also licensed, I think, in Washington.
He's apply. I said, I think applying.
Applying.
It's pending, I believe.
Oh, he has a mental health. He has a master's license in Washington. So, and so I think I'm okay with his application. Any questions you had, Dr.?
No, I don't. I have correct number of hours, I see, and supervision hours.
Yeah, he did 3 internships, just 1. So he should be okay.
Any members?
Yeah.
Dr. Winans' postdoc has been uploaded. If you refresh your meeting folder, you'll see it.
So I have to like go out?
It's in the meeting folder, the Google Drive folder.
Yes.
So she's just referring to a note. That's what she means by going out. I can look at it, Dr. Carolina.
Okay. Thank you.
I see the postdoc. You're right. It is at a Ray of Hope, as you mentioned, in Illinois. I didn't know that. It appears to meet the hours. And and there's a training plan, so it looks good.
Okay.
So she's good. Do you want to do Daniel Lemereau, Dr. Daniel Lemereau?
Okay, this is going to be a little confusing. Okay. So Dr. Lemereau graduated from the University of Arizona as school psych in December of 17. So the one of the issues is an internship at Tempe Elementary with Dr. Koda, and it said it started July 27th, and then she indicated that the paperwork wasn't signed until a week later. But then she said that that would be September 27th. So I don't know if it's when it started, if it would have started for him in July or September. Because of the paperwork, according to what she wrote, it would have been that he started around September 20th. But then I know the school starts earlier, and he wrote on the paperwork 7/27 to 5/17. So, but he only needs 1,500 hours for the internship. If there were 40 weeks done, as the paperwork says, and 40 hours a week, that's 1,600, so he would have it. But then it said that there was an internship in another location, Sunny Slope, for 643 and a half hours. So maybe we're supposed to add those 2 internship hours together?
Regardless, he meets the internship requirement.
Yeah, it's very confusing. And then there's a postdoc at Marana for 1375 hours, so that would be enough. So that was my main question. He has recommendations and he has a self-query. I just was confused about the internship.
Yeah, the internship was signed a week later, even if he did not count those hours. He was under supervision. He was registered for internship. Was there a written training agreement? Yes, there was. So I'm okay with that. All of the, and the agreement was in place and in the works. So but regardless, even if you count
the agreement was 2 months after he started, after the school district started. So it's a difference of July 27th and then September 27th.
Mm-hmm.
That's what computer.
But he has a second internship.
Yeah, the second one may have given him the
hours. Internship, yeah.
Because what I don't know is how many hours he had at Tempe Elementary, because they say 1611, but then that would be that he had full 40 weeks there, and he didn't, that were covered. He had 40 weeks he worked there, but only we don't know how many weeks that he was supervised with the paperwork in place.
According to the email by Dr. Koda, he submitted the boards have already had that form. They did everything right from his very first week. It was signed on 9/20.
But if you look at the other paperwork, it says he started July 27th.
7/27/16.
Well, there's 2 months there. So that may be, so that would be
the statute
160 that reached.
Was there a written training agreement? Does it say established by the TAID? Oh, so that's why they said no.
Even so there was, so that would be 320 hours, but then he did get 643 at Sunny Slope, so it's probably okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It costs us the 1500.
Yeah.
And the dates of the agreement, if you see what was signed, is for that entire time period. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay, so then it'd be all right. It was just very not clear.
I think everything else seemed okay.
Yes.
Okay. Next one is Alexandra Klein. Got her doctorate from Case Western Reserve University. Also submitted at least 1,000 hours that met our requirements for pre-internship. Did a internship at an APA-approved site at USD for 2080 hours. References, everything looked fine. Any questions?
Yes, yes, fine.
Why don't you go ahead and do Stacey Buffard? Again, Stacey Buffard is a graduate from the NAU program, but she's also somebody that I've had very little interaction with.
All right, so yes, she graduated from NAU in the Counseling School Psych Program. She did a 2,000-hour APA-approved internship at La Frontera. She has about various practica that equal to 1,628 hours, so that would give her the correct number of hours. She has two recommendations and a self-query, so she looks okay to me.
Okay. Next one is Christina Palmer-Cagle. She
yes.
is a REAP, and looking at application, I did not have any problems with her application.
Let me see.
You wanted to preempt her?
Yeah, no, I think this is okay too. Yes.
Okay, sorry.
And then Dr. Priyanka Rao has a degree from Adler University. She's APA accredited. She has an internship for 2,000 hours. It's APA approved. And she has several pre-internship hours, about 1,496. So that gives her the correct number of hours and two recommendations and self-query. So I think this is fine.
Okay. And next one is Crystal Galvin.
Yes.
She is also a reapplication. She's here. I didn't see any.
I did see a problem with this.
Okay, go ahead, Doctor.
The only if we looked at her transcript, it seems that maybe the Chicago school was not approved when she graduated because she listed all of her courses, and she has only 2 credits in treatment modality. So I wondered about that. And I know she was previously approved, but I did see that, so I wanted to ask you.
The school is APA accredited when I graduated.
Okay, I didn't know, because she listed the courses. Usually that's when it's not APA accredited, you know?
Ms. Folks, and the APA information wasn't included in her application. Is it possible to have it included? Is this it is the Chicago school. It is an APA approved program.
But I don't know when it began. What were the years that it started?
Oh, it's been accredited for a while.
No, the APA approval. Did they have it?
Yeah, APA approval has been accredited for a long time.
Okay.
So,
I don't know. If you looked at that, I just wondered.
Ms. Folks, for the full meeting, do you mind going ahead and adding the APA accreditation information in her file?
Yes.
Because that's what we look for. And if that's the case, then she can just proceed to the consent agenda item. If that's not the case, then we will review her separately. So. because
Thank you. I will do that.
Because one of the things, Ms. Galvin, Dr. Galvin, you can do even in the meantime, in case the accreditation is an issue, which I don't think it is, but just in case, because we don't have the paperwork right in front of us, is I have no doubt you've had many treatment modality classes. You only listed one on that form. And so you can send a quick email to Dr. Ms. Folks indicating another treatment class you've had. It's unusual for somebody from a clinical psych program to only have 2 credits of treatment. So you can list many a class in that section. So please give us that additional class for that section. And that will make the review much quicker on when it's fully reviewed by the board.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Am I doing Sharona Feld?
Okay. No, 1 second. Before we move forward, I will go ahead and make a motion to move Dr. Pickus, Dr. Grunstein, Dr. Serena, Dr. Winans, Dr. Schneider, Dr. Lamoureux, Dr. Klein, Dr. Buffard, Dr. Palmer-Kegel, Dr. Rao to the full board for approval, and Dr. Galvin with the additional information to either the consent agenda or the full board for, or a review by the full board for approval. Do I hear a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion approved. We can now move to item C. We are done with item B, and we are at item C, and item C is approval of the supervised experience for licensure. To explain that category, and I'm sorry if I'm, I feel I'm talking down, but I'm just trying to explain, do a little bit of training too, because y'all are probably very familiar with all this, having been training in training program for a long time. But in this category, they're just focusing on their supervised experience. They've actually applied to the board before, and then they worked on their supervised experience and then the exam, and now we are reviewing them again to verify, yes, their supervised experience is good, and they passed the exam, so then they can move to the full board for approval for licensure. So that is this category. It's a very quick category. We're not looking at their whole history. So go ahead, Dr. Katarina.
Okay, Dr. Feld did pass the EPPP in June of 23. She was added her postdoc experiences at the VA in Phoenix for 1650 hours. She already had a Southwest Behavioral 2000-hour internship. But I thought she looked fine to me.
Yes. And Dr. Coley did her postdoc at the Arizona Psychology Training Consortium, and has also submitted scores that indicate she's passed the EPPP. So again, no problems with either applications. I'll go ahead and make the motion to move Dr. Feld and Dr. Foley to the full board for approval of licensure.
Yes, I second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
We've already done D, and wow, we're doing really good on time. So, E. Requesting approval for licensure by waiver. Do you want to do the first one?
Okay, yes, I have to find.
Let me just do
okay, Destiny Hoffman.
Do you mind if I
pause? Well, I get, okay, I have a question, that's why.
Yeah, let me pause on this one. So the licensure by waiver is individuals who have passed the exam. They are actually licensed in another state. And I think they're licensed. I get a little confused. They're generally licensed in another state, but they don't have to take the exam. So they're just expressing approval of licensure. They've met the pre-doc, post-doc requirements.
Well, excuse me. I think there's different levels of waiver.
Yeah, there's different levels.
So some of these people were not licensed in another state.
Yeah, you're right. So, but they have met all the requirements. And they don't have to take the EPPP because they've already passed it. So they might have started a license, say, in California, passed the exam, but then chose not to get licensed there. Some of them have gotten licensed. And some of them are licensed for 10 years or 20 years, so they're waiving one part of the supervisor experience. So there's all kinds of categories.
Yeah, I looked it up because there were so many. Yeah. Yes.
This was an unusual, we don't normally see so many by waivers, but go ahead, Dr. Carrier.
Dr. Destiny Hoffman passed the EPPP. She graduated from Marshall University in West Virginia in December 22. I couldn't figure out on the form where it says degree granted, and I started to look after we worried about the other one, but I'm sure it does say it.
Yeah.
And then she has an APA internship at Geisinger and postdoc for 1,512 hours that was not APA approved. My question is on the postdoc, because the supervisor wrote, this is a postdoc residence, and my understanding was the law is that the supervisor must have been out for 2 years to be a postdoc supervisor. And she wrote on the form that she was only a license for 1 year and 3 months. So I don't know if we can count the whole postdoc or what. She does have the recommendations.
That's a really good catch.
And she has a self-query. Fine. So maybe if she got licensed midway through, we could count those. Maybe there was another supervisor. But I think
what we will go ahead and do with, and Dr. Hoffman is not at this meeting, we will go ahead and ask for clarification. Does she have hours of supervision by another supervisor to specify and submit her logs? So to verify that those hours by a secondary supervisor. Her postdoc was at a medical center, which leads me to believe that there should be plenty of other psychologists and staff who may have provided supervision as well. She needed, let's check, she needed about 700 hours of postdoc hours. She also had three internship hours that she can try to submit.
Right, yeah, maybe she could use those.
So Ms. Polk, she will need a letter of additional information. So.
Okay.
Okay, the next one is Samantha Jackson. She got her degree at John F. Kennedy University. Again, she's applying for a waiver. She has a pre-doc and a post-doc that meets our requirements. And let me check to see if she's licensed anyway.
No, she's not.
She's not, okay. And there's a post-doc training agreement. A post-doc was at Southwest, so they're pretty good about having their training agreement. So. And her pre-doc was at anyway. So,
yes.
Yeah, so she's good to go.
Yes, I think she's fine. Okay, next is Palin Strabler, passed the APPP but is not licensed. Went to Eastern Michigan University, went to APA internship at the University of Alabama. Has a 4,500 hour postdoc because it's a 2 year neuropsych postdoc, licensed in Texas, two recommendations, self query, and is a diplomate in neuroscience, I believe. So I think this would be, but I wondered if this person should have been under a credential because they have a diplomate.
Madam Chair, committee members. I looked at that. I believe she is not licensed for 5 years.
But usually, it used to be you had to be licensed 5 years before you could take the diplomate. But maybe they changed that now. Okay.
I believe it's been changed to like 3 years.
Okay, so that's...
Yeah, but right. I
can't be the credential then. Let's see. Okay, well, I approve her for waiver then.
Yeah. Okay, the next one is Nancy Toka. She got her degree from a university that is no longer in existence.
Yes.
And her transcripts are housed at another university. It was the University of Humanistic Studies in California in
And
1986.
it wasn't accredited by APA.
It wasn't accredited by the APA, but my question was it reasonably accredited? And I tried to look it up.
Oh.
And I think you need to, one of our requirements, Ms. Folks, is that the university has to be reasonably accredited. And I am not sure. California used to do its own kind of unique approvals of programs that did not require regional accreditation. And I don't know. I could not find, there should be a information on that. So we do need to ask for that information.
Madam Chair, I just want you to know that I did do a deep internet search to try to find that information, and I could not find it myself. Mm. So,
it will be up to the candidate to research that. If you go to the CHEA website, I wonder if they list previous institutions. I did see some information somewhere, and they said it was approved by the Office of Post-Secondary and something. And post-secondary is not a regional accreditation. Oftentimes you see institutions that are accredited by, say, a religious, but that's not one of the seven that are listed in our statutes that a university has to be approved. Now, this person could come under the universal recognition. We've seen that happen, and they could get their license through that. So they have that option. But at this point, we do, if they're under this category by waiver, they do have to provide that information, or we need to see it somewhere, or the institution that's holding the records needs to provide that. So it's not up to us to do that deep digging. So we need to send a letter.
So. Yes, good. I was wondering about that. I'm glad you clarified that. I was confused because she was licensed in California for 23
California
years.
California would approve its own program. They did not require regional accreditation. California is the new state that does that.
Yeah, I didn't know that. So that makes sense.
Yeah. So.
Okay. And then Dr. Rachel Sweeney passed the EPPP, graduated from University of Florida. Now, I know I just did a site visit, and I know they were backed up for years. So her site, the accreditation visit was due 2022, but I guess we have to assume it's still accredited.
No, University of Florida, the accreditation has been extended for those programs.
Okay,
it's been accredited for a long time.
I know, I don't know what, when I see the site visit due 2022. Yeah. So the one that I just did was 3 years behind, so. And then she has an internship with Phoenix Children's for 2,000 hours, postdoc at Cincinnati Children's for 1528, has two references, and a self-query. Looks fine to me.
Yeah. And she graduated in, the important thing, and I just want to make
Oh, yeah, she graduated before the visit was due.
Yes. So the program when she graduated was accredited. It probably is. And so the most relevant information for her is when she graduated, was the program accredited? And yes, she graduated in 21. So there's no question on her accreditation status for her program.
Well, so. Then I approve her, no question.
Okay. Last one is Santiago Palmer Canso, Dr. Canso. Completed their degree at Ponce Health Sciences University, Puerto Rico, did an APA approved, which is APA approved, did an APA approved internship, did a postdoc. Now in Dr. Ponce, Dr. Cancel's case, you will notice that, postdoc, they did not have like a training agreement, but there is a letter explaining that it was a organized training experience. And we will accept that because the supervisor explained the nature of the postdoc. And Arizona requires the written training agreement. We do accept retrospective agreements as well, so that they can outline and articulate the training principles. We will accept that. So.
And he's so, licensed in New Mexico.
Yeah. So, do you want to make this motion, or you want me to? I have my.
Well, you can make it. Fine.
Okay. So we are accepting requests for approval for licensure by waiver for Dr. Hoffman, Dr. Jackson, Dr. Strebler, Dr. Sweeney, and Dr. Cancel. And we're asking for additional information for Dr. Topar. Did I get that right?
Yes. We do have, I see that we have Dr. Palmer Cancel present.
Does he need to? Thank you for being here. We had no questions on your application. Okay.
I will second your motion.
Thanks. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion approved. These applications will move to the full board for approval. Next Friday for licensure by waiver. So thank you, Dr. All the best. Next is requesting approval for licensure by credential. This is applicants who receive additional credentials, including an ABAP, CPQ, or the National Register. This makes our lives very easy when they have these additional credentials, because the credential organization has done much of the work for us. So, however, we do require for the National Register that they submit their exam scores. So they have to answer all the questions, you know, in terms of their background and application history. They have to answer, we have to verify their licenses, that it's in good standing, that they have passed the exam for the National Register, clearinghouse, and their certificate. So all of the candidates today are for National Register. So you want to do Dr. Becker?
Dr. Kristen Becker as a PsyD from Argosy in Virginia. Licensed in many states, but I think the last currently licensed in, only in Florida, has the National Register and has a self query. So I think she looks fine.
Okay.
Licensed in Illinois. I don't know which one. There's one, I think it's Florida or Illinois, that's still current.
Yeah. There is in her case, she did not have her scores from ASPPB, but she, if you look at the Kansas application, they did include her scores, and we will accept scores from another jurisdiction if it's listed on their verification form. So she's good. Kara Hurley is our next applicant, and she is from Loyola University Chicago. She is also applying under the National Register credential. She has submitted her scores, which indicates that she's passed her exam, and she is licensed in
Illinois.
Yeah. So Dr. Paige
Warmer, graduated from the Philadelphia College of Osteopathic Medicine in 2012, in the National Register, and it's good until February 24, licensed in Oregon and Washington, and has a self-query, and I believe the scores were there.
Okay. Yeah, she's good. And the last one in this category is Dr. LaRue. Demita LaRue, also applying under the National Register. She got her doctorate degree in 2016 from Chicago School of Professional Psychology, and she is licensed in
Illinois. Everybody's getting tired of cold weather.
And Wisconsin, I think. Yeah,
Okay, I think he looks okay.
Yeah, he was looking for exams, so
Ah, I see. Let me go to that.
they the Indiana one just says he's passed, but they don't give us the actual score. And then the let me look at the Wisconsin one. Wisconsin one doesn't give us a score either. I think we do need a score misspoke.
Ah.
Because neither jurisdiction included it. And sometimes, oh no, I do see it now. It's on page 11. And she does have a passing score. So she did include the SPDD.
Yeah, there it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Phew. So
Okay.
I'll go ahead and make a motion that we approve a licensure by credential for Dr. Becker, Dr. Hurley, Dr. Marmer, and Dr. LaRue. Do I hear anything?
A second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion approved. We will now do requesting approval for licensure by universal recognition. If you don't mind, Dr. Katarina, I'm going to do the first four as a
Sure.
group. Because
Yes, good.
yeah, and then I do want to talk about Dr. the fifth applicant.
Yes.
We have four applicants that I'm going to refer to: Dr. Apodaca, Dr. Bradstreet, Dr. Tackett, and Dr. Diamond. Dr. Apodaca is from Biola. Dr. Bradstreet from Texas. Dr. Tackett is from University of North Texas, and Dr. Diamond is from Biola, California. They're all applying for waiver. They are licensed in their respective states, two in Texas, one in Virginia, one in California. They all submitted their driver's license as a proof of pregnancy.
Yeah, I think I wanted to say I think we have to be merciful. Dr. Tackett's license expired November 30th, so I think they applied in time. It's just
Yes.
so we gotta accept that person.
And they have to be licensed for 1 year, so they do meet that criteria.
Well, it was licensed from the 11/19 to 11/30/23,
Okay.
so I think for one day it's fine.
Do they have to have an active license? Oh, because, oh, I see what you're saying, November 30.
Yesterday.
Okay.
Let
And they
it
meet the
go.
criteria of being licensed for 1 year. That's what they have to have, an independent license for 1 year.
Well, it looks they did. They have 4 years.
I believe the statute says the current and active. Let me look.
I'm sorry, Madam Chair, committee members, who do you think who is not?
Tack it.
Yeah, Madam Chair, Ms. Folks may be able to verify
Whether
online
you
if it's been renewed.
be
whether
the
the daily
Texas
time.
verification that is in her file shows an expiry date of 11/30/2025.
Oh, it was renewed, I guess. The one I saw was 11/30/23. Okay, good. I was upset about that. So good.
Oh, what you see is the application page. That was her expiration date at that time, but the verification shows the application pages are the ones that the applicant gives us that information, and then we have to verify that information. And so the verification is the one to look at for the exact information that you need.
Well, good. Thank
Okay.
you.
Okay, so she's good. I'm just going to go ahead and make a motion for these four,
Yeah.
Dr. Apodaca, Dr. Bradstreet, Dr. Tackett, and Dr. Diamond, to move them to the full board for approval for licensure by universal recognition. Do I hear a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion approved. I do want to talk about Dr. H. Adder. And Dr. Adder is also applying by universal recognition. They do have a history of a complaint, which has been adjudicated by the Idaho Board. We can review an applicant who has had a previous complaint under the universal recognition. The complaint was very recent, and we see the agreement. It's kind of a non-disciplinary agreement. The concern I had with the application is that Dr. Adder made a statement in his application saying, well, I don't agree with the Idaho Board. And the lack of remorse really bothered me, because when I read through the complaint, I felt that the finding was kind of justified. Idaho was reasonable in their adjudication of that complaint. The business relationship was very recent, and he entered into a business relationship with a former client, and it wasn't very clear whether the status had ended. And the fact that he is still disagreeing with the board really bothered me. And I almost feel like I want to issue him, and I need some guidance, Ms. Galvin, a non-disciplinary letter of concern with continuing ed on dual relationships, because he does not have that clear, according to my review and his response to that complaint. That's...
Let me ask you first, though. I did see where he says, I take full responsibility in this letter.
Yeah, he says that, but then you read his further comments, it bothered me.
Okay.
Madam Chair, while Ms. Galvin, I think, is scrutinizing this, I might suggest that given there seems to be some contradictory statements, you know, what you've identified and then what Dr. Caterino just mentioned, that this may be appropriate to invite him to come to ARC next month for an application interview and pose questions to him relative to, you know, this incident, his retrospective thoughts about the incident and so forth. I think that would inform ARC substantially. And then I will let Ms. Galvin speak to the mechanism, I guess, that the board would have to grant a license and, you know, concurrently take some sort of non-disciplinary action. I'll let her do that.
Can I just make one comment? Rather than coming to the next ARC, I don't think the ARC committee can actually do what I just recommended at the ARC committee, but we can do it at a full board all in the same meeting, as long as the licensee is okay with that. We've done it in the past. If you remember way back, we had those applications, you know, we opened and closed it all in the same meeting, and those were renewal applications, but we issued non-disciplinary letters of concern. I don't know, Ms. Galvin.
And you could proceed either way. You could bring him back to ARC, or you could move it to the full board for consideration. And if it's something that the board believes should be addressed with a non-disciplinary letter of concern or non-disciplinary CE, whatever it is you believe, then the motion could be to approve the application upon acceptance of a non-disciplinary letter of concern or some other non-disciplinary order. He would have to agree to it at this point in the proceedings.
So do we do it now, or do we do it at the next ARC meeting?
You can bring him back to ARC, or you can refer it to the full board and have him appear at the full board with your recommendation to approve, but with a letter of concern or whatever you think is appropriate.
That would be my recommendation, that this application be moved to the full board. I prefer a full board acting whenever we issue any kind of non-disciplinary rather than ARC. I feel fairly strongly about it, but I'm not the person who's going to make that decision, but I think I want to make that recommendation.
Madam Chair, committee, so you're...
Is that a motion?
Yeah. You want the application to go to the next board meeting on 1208 and for substantive review and a memo with your recommendation?
Yes. And I'll be glad to join the meeting for a few minutes to do that, Adam. Because technically, am I still in the board for the December meeting?
You are, yes, indeed.
So is that a motion? Should we do it?
I don't know. I want to make sure you're okay with my suggestion, Dr. Carolina.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know he accepted it. That was a formal letter, but down below he says, I disagree, could have been strongly with the board. You know, he had to accept it because that's the only way he could move on.
But what I thought I was, what I thought was interesting is said on the board, this will not be shown on your, you know, somebody asked to see your record, it will not be shown. But he still reported it, which I thought was a good, was in good.
Yeah,
way.
That was good. Yeah, you're right. Yes. Thank you for pointing that out, Dr. Carabino. And I just wanted to. Where was that statement? I don't know. It bothered me. And dual relationships tends to be a source of concern, one of our highest reported complaints. And this would, the continuing ad of, you know, getting more information on dual relationships, et cetera, will just protect it in the future.
One of the points to that is that he said, well, the person had moved more than 300 miles away, but then he indicates that he's only seeing clients from Idaho now, which are, is more than 300 miles away, I believe. So it didn't matter the distance. That was his point, that it was so far away.
Exactly. And it says right there on page 4, Idaho board investigated complaint that I engage in a dual business relationship. I strongly disagree with this finding. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah, I was looking at and the next pages I failed in one part. Yeah. And to, it is very confusing when the therapy actually ended.
Yeah.
Is there a law? I mean, I know you can't have, you know, dating relations for 2 years. Is there a law? Does that apply to business
Even
relations?
Any kind of relationship.
Friends, 2 years also. After they, two
it varies,
years.
Yeah. And then there's state law too. But again, you have to use good judgment too. So,
but if that's clear, if it is 2 years after you terminate
that's
therapy, it was less than 2 years.
Before the board for discussion. So,
I think we'll have to find that law though. I don't, maybe we could look that up.
You have to look at the APA ethics. It really falls under the APA ethics.
Okay. So that is true. That's what I saw.
Some ethical, APA ethical view.
And not all dual relationships are prohibited.
Yeah.
But is it true, Ms. Galvin, that after 2 years you can begin? Is there something like that?
I think that is a sexual relationship.
That's what I was trying to find out. It was just sexual or both.
Yeah. Okay.
And the whole board can adjudicate, you know, maybe I'm being kind of, you know. So.
Okay. Well, should we make a motion to put it to the full board?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, okay. So that is the motion to move this to the full board for review and consideration, you know, for approval of licensure by universal recognition with consideration for a dual relationship, a non-disciplinary consent order for dual relationships.
Oh, a second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. A motion approved. We are done with this agenda. Any moving to item number 5, new agenda item for future meetings?
If I may, with respect to Dr. Astor, and I'm looking at this, that agreement that he provided is not signed by anyone.
Oh.
So I'm not sure, Kathy, if you can ask him for a copy that is signed. Right now, it means nothing if it's not signed.
I would be happy to do that. Thank you, Jean.
Okay.
Yes, that's right. On page 14.
Yes. If a signed official document is not obtained in time, this won't be on the December 8th agenda. It will have to go to the January 12th board meeting agenda.
Okay, that sounds fair.
Thank you.
See, because if you look on page 26, it says no disciplinary actions, you know. And he did, and that's where I say he brought it up. He did admit it.
The way the document is worded is that it is non-disciplinary. It was an informal resolution, but again, it's not signed.
Right. Yes, you're right.
And it's only a recommendation. I think Dr. Ada can you know, we need the document, and Dr. Ada can speak to it, and then the board may or may not decide to move forward with that recommendation that we are making from this board. So. Because they, you know, depending on what he says in the statement. So he does need, you know, we do need to request his presence as well.
Okay.
So, Mr. Galvin, is it okay for us to even have that recommendation since we don't have a signed agreement? Or should we just move, should we rescind our motion and vote and just move it to the board for review?
I think you can move it to the full board for review, but then staff will determine whether it'll be on this agenda or January's, given the lack of signature on the
document. So maybe should I make a motion to rescind my motion?
Please.
Yeah. I'd like to go ahead and make a motion to rescind my previous motion to move Dr. Ada to the full board for approval for licensure by universal recognition and consider a non-disciplinary continuing ed order, whatever the motion is. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor of say aye?
Aye.
Aye. So we rescinded that motion and we are moving this application to the full board.
Should Kathy ask for a signed form of that signed agreement between now and the meeting? Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Well, I'm going to miss you at the meetings for sure.
Thank you, Dr. Carino. You're very patient with me. Move things along very quickly.
So. No, I appreciate all the knowledge you have. Oh, well, I'm going to be sad. Okay.
I'm going to be sad. I'm going to miss you. And I really appreciate your diligence. You are very good at keeping eye on all the details, which is amazing. Hearing no future agenda items, welcome to Dr. Flint and Dr. Seidman. I'm assuming it's official. Is it? Can I make announcements like outside of here? I've been careful not to mention it.
So, Dr. Flint, because she is transitioning into her role to cover a vacancy, so she was able to step in and agreed to step in very swiftly to fill a vacancy, which was a pain point for us, of course. In the case of Dr. Seidman, he's going to transition onto the board with effective in January. So Dr. Flint responded to my arm twisting efforts very graciously. Dr. Seidman got a little bit of a pass, but it's also the circumstances.
It's still an AU, so we're supporting supporters. thank you. Thank you all, and I'll see you all this afternoon. And do I hear a motion to adjourn?
Yes, I'll make a motion to adjourn.
So moved. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Meeting is adjourned. Have a good day.